Funky Dope.
Hello, finally. I mean, not finally for you,
but
it's been 2 hours of trying to figure out how to record.
We are on a new mic today.
Yeah, a fancy one.
So, fancy pants.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Amanda.
And welcome to Litty Titty Book Club,
where we read,
rant,
and review
books once a month because we're moms and who has the time?
But we do.
Just kind of. We've kind of amped up our schedule now, right?
Yeah, a little bit. So we are going to be recording a little more frequently. I'm introducing a couple more books here shortly.
Yeah, it'll be twice a month now.
Yeah, it should be twice a month.
But this episode is sponsored again by Mama Mango.
Yes. So this is a special Saturday night episode. Shout out Mama Mango.
Yeah.
Shout out Costco as a vendor.
Could you imagine if we got sponsored by Costco?
Oh, wow.
My dream.
Let's manifest that.
Yeah. Please. If anyone seriously from Costco is listening. Yeah.
We are the ones that you want to reach out to. Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about Blue Sisters by Coco Mellors.
It's the one that y'all voted on. We had 3 books up for a vote and this was the winner. So today's the day. We have read it. We have our notes. We've got our opinions. We are ready to...
I got strong opinions.
Oh, I can't wait. Well, we're ready to chit-chat. Blue Sisters, Coco Mellors.
Here we go. This is going to be spoiler heavy.
So it will be spoiler heavy. So you got yourself into this mess if you didn't read it yet.
So this book follows 3 Blue Sisters, Avery, Bonnie, and Lucky, who are all living in separate cities around the world. They recently lost their 4th sister, Nikki, and all are facing that grief along with their complexities of family and their own identities. They come back together when they return to New York to try to stop the sale of their apartment they all grew up in.
Now, a little background on Coco Mellors, our author. She grew up in London and moved to New York as a teen. She herself has been sober for 8 years, so this is another instance where our author is writing a work of fiction but has personal connections as they do. And I wonder if she connects with Avery the most, if that character is loosely based off herself, because there are some connections there. And so, fun fact also about the cover, the beautiful watercolor, or it could be pastel, I don't know what the meaning was, but
it's pretty.
Yeah, so the front cover was done by an artist. The one that's featuring all 4 sisters is by, okay.
Oh, here
now
we
this
go.
Is a Dutch name, so.
I can't wait to hear you pronounce this. I'm very excited.
Everyone, just hold on to your pants.
That is quite the last name.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, go.
Barbara Hoogewagen. Hoogewagen.
Hoogewagen.
I'm pretty sure that's how you say it.
That's a great last name.
And she's a Dutch painter and artist living in London. There is another cover. It's the UK specific cover, and that's featuring an art piece titled To the Lighthouse. And this one's by Gil Button. Gil is also the artist behind the cover of Coco Mellors' other novel, Cleopatra and Frankenstein, which is on my TBR. That one looks pretty good.
What is that about?
Oh, put on the spot.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's on your TBR. Is it literal Frankenstein and Cleopatra? Is it some weird science fiction book?
I don't think it's like that. I think it's sort of like the same sort of vibes as this one, where it's sort of relationship based. Maybe some drama.
Couples impulsive marriage. Okay.
But it's pretty much, it's about a 24-year-old British painter. So she's got kind of all these like similar little vibes from her. The main character Cleo has escaped from England to New York. So it seems like Coco Mellors seems to kind of feature England and New York pretty prominently in her written works.
It just sounds like an impulsive marriage. And then so very character driven once again.
Yeah, it looks like a good one. It's been on my TBR honestly for a while, like before I even looked up this book.
Okay.
Yeah, because I saw it on a reel or something. So anyways, beautiful covers, beautiful works of art. Let's get into our opinions. I'm interested to hear what your strong opinions are.
Yeah. So I did audiobook and I started listening to it on like a road trip and instantly fell asleep because the narrator's voice is not monotone, but it's very calming and soothing, I guess.
Yeah.
But the more I listen to it, the more I'm like, I don't know if I like her voice.
It's not high energy.
It's not. But the New York accent was good. I liked that.
Yes.
That was good. I think she did a good job differentiating between all the sisters.
I heard the
difference. Yeah. There was one part where they were in the apartment. I'm getting off topic. But there was one part where they were in the apartment and it was like, Avery said. And then it was like, Lucky said, or Bonnie said. And it just was after every single sentence. It was like, blah, 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 Lucky said, blah, 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 Bonnie said. Is that how we're writing? Okay, I guess so. That was just hard to listen to.
Maybe it helped, though.
I don't know. I guess, like, first impressions, I don't know if I super love this book. It's not a book that I thought about a lot after I finished reading it.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of ties everything up, sort of.
It does.
Sort of, kind of.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's a 10-year epilogue after the story.
Is it 10-year?
It is 10 years, yeah.
Oh, jeepers.
There's a lot to dive into with their personalities and the social interactions between their family and other people.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very, it's very depressing, I think.
Yeah.
It's very, almost dark at times.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot of happy stuff happening in this book. And I just was listening to it being like, ugh, I gotta finish this book. Yeah. What are you gonna do now? I think I texted you and I said, these sisters are so infuriating. They're so messy.
Yep. Each and every one.
Every single one of them.
They all had their issues.
They did, but I don't know if I loved this one as much as you did.
Yeah. She sees that I rated it 8 of 10. Yeah. So, well, here we go. Anyways, on my side, I also listened to this one. I did hear mixed reviews on the narrator, Kit Griffiths, who also narrates Cleopatra and Frankenstein.
Okay.
Kit is English, but in my opinion, does a pretty good New York accent. I enjoyed it. This book, it was up my alley as someone who grew up in the Virgin Suicides era. Okay. I feel like that was such a big movie when I was a teen. And then it was just sort of like,
it is super melancholy like that.
It's melancholy. It's kind of artistic. And, you know, it's kind of picturesque. There's an aesthetic behind it. Yes. And so I feel like that one kind of like, it was so prominent in my youth. Yeah. So I'm like, I felt like it gave me Virgin Suicides vibes. Overall, I did give it an 8 of 10 because it is my typical type of book.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that I would recommend it to just anyone because it is all about being messy and it is sad and not everyone is down for that kind of book. But you know me, I like the saddies.
The more depressing, the better.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, it does get a little better at the end because that was the whole thing. Like, we didn't have this huge character arc where everyone starts to kind of
redeem themselves.
Yeah. We get a little 10-year epilogue where you're like, okay, it sounds like maybe everyone's on a better track. So I guess it's realistic.
It is realistic in that way. Yeah. Because not everyone has that redeeming character arc and that the story ends and you're just in real life, I mean.
Yes.
Right?
Like, yeah.
It's a journey.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of themes on the addiction.
Mm-hmm.
There's some addictions in the family. Just that family dynamic that's messy. Poor choices. There's some infidelity. And so you're seeing that kind of stuff. But it's not like, everyone's not redeeming themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, 100%. It's like you're seeing these pretty realistic
growths
and improvements, especially with the recovery, the addiction recovery.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So I feel like that's
a good point.
Yeah. It might have been too neat and tidy if they all just had these perfect lives at the end.
I think I would have hated it more if it was like that.
And okay, should we dive, like, can we just like bounce around now and get like kind of spoilerish?
Sure.
Because one of the sisters has a baby at the end.
Yes.
And names it after the deceased sister.
Nicole.
Yes. And she pretends that they had other names that they bounced around on. And
yeah.
It's like, no, you didn't.
Yeah,
you were going to name it Nicole the whole time.
Or Nicholas if it was a boy.
Yes. Yeah. We know that you were going to honor your sister that way.
Yeah.
Which was cute. But yeah, it was like,
okay. Yeah. Sorry. Jumping around to the end. Speaking of the baby.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry.
I know exactly where you're going with this.
Yeah. What was that point of view at the end where it's the point of view of the baby? That was so weird.
I think it was trying to be from like a psychological standpoint of, you know, this baby's got this like loving mother and this like good, you know, upbringing that she's going to have and these people she can rely on. But you're also like, this is a newborn. I don't think you grasp that yet.
Is this like the butterfly effect? Have you seen that?
Yes. Where Ashton Kutcher's in the womb?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he strangles himself with the umbilical cord?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's immediately what I thought of because that was super weird.
Totally. Yeah. You're like, this is the butterfly effect.
Why do we have baby POV? And it just switched so suddenly.
Yeah. That it sounds like you're uncertain what's happening. And then you realize, oh, is this supposed to be the baby's thought?
Yes, it was very odd. And I don't think I loved the ending.
I don't know about the ending myself. I think it was predictable where, like, yes, I wanted Bonnie to end up with Pavel. I did.
Yes. We'll get into characters. We'll get into characters here.
Yes, just shortly. But ending, though, I'm okay with it. Like, I think it's, again, realistically what should have happened or probably would happen in this instance if it were real life and real people.
Yeah,
that's so the characters fair. Felt really real.
So characters. There are so many characters in this book. A lot of side characters.
A lot of side characters. A lot of big personalities. I feel like everyone was really visually descriptive and people that you would know in real life. And
Yeah. And they were, I think they were really well thought out side characters.
Well thought out. And the narration was good. Short little bio on each sister.
Sure.
First we have Avery, oldest sister. She's 33. A recovering heroin addict who became a lawyer and lives in London with her wife, Chitty.
The cutest. Mm-hmm. We have Bonnie, 31, champion boxer who fled LA and now works as a bouncer following a big boxing match loss and the loss of her sister, Nikki.
Nikki sadly passed away at 27, RIP. She had been described as the most girly sister. She joined a sorority in college, ended up being a 10th grade English teacher, and battled endometriosis prior to her untimely death.
We have Lucky, the youngest sister, became a model at 15, which is so young. So crazy. And currently lives alone in Paris. And is a big... Sorry, Amanda's going to sneeze here one second.
I'm going to sneeze. Okay, now
it's gone.
It's gone.
Okay. She lives a risky life, we'll just say.
Not me. Lucky.
Yeah, not the sneezing Amanda.
Podcast but... problems.
Okay. We have Chitty, who's Avery's wife.
Pavel is Bonnie's boxing coach and...
partner.
Spoiler.
Partner.
Later on, partner.
Peachy, who is the club owner that Bonnie works at.
We have Chitty's family is Vish, her brother, and Ganishka, her mother.
Troll Doll is just a nickname for a girl that Lucky knows in London. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then who else do we have?
We've got Charlie. That's the man Avery meets at AA.
Oh, yes, Charlie. Oh. Young Charlie. Freya, Avery's first love. Taken back to Sweden by her parents after a scary overdose situation. Yes.
And then Dania, that's new boxer that Pavel coaches.
Fucking Carter Beaumont. Nikki's childhood friend.
And then, of course, baby Nicole, who is Bonnie and Pavel's daughter.
Oh, yes. Baby Nicole.
Baby Nicole.
Once again, the baby POV. Not okay.
Yes. Yeah. That one was, I have PTSD from that chapter.
Okay. That's the only thing I'm thinking about after this book is that baby POV.
It ruined it for you.
It really did.
You might have thought different about this book had it not been for baby Nicole.
Yeah, baby POV. Nicole POV. I don't ever put a baby POV in your books.
That's a, not a good one. Which sister's story resonated with you the most? Or which was your favorite? Which was your favorite sister?
My favorite sister.
Not relatable, but they're just, stuck out.
Okay, I related to Avery the most because she's the oldest sister. Mm-hmm. And she's taking care of all her sisters. Which you feel that pressure as the oldest sister.
Big sis vibes.
Four sisters. I really liked Lucky's chapters just because how crazy messy they were.
Yeah. They gave me the most stress.
They were stressful. Especially the first scene where she is supposed to go to her fitting.
Oh,
and she starts drinking.
Yes.
And I'm like, girl, you are going to miss your fitting.
Where's your responsibility at?
How long have you been drinking for? Yeah, it was stressing me out.
Oh, damn Lucky.
Yeah, she was stressful. Yeah, I liked Avery and Lucky. Bonnie was okay, but I didn't really feel any connection to her at all.
Bonnie, I liked just how a tough exterior she had, but she was, you know, quite a softy inside.
Yeah.
She also had just that sort of rise to the occasion.
That's true.
Kind of personality, and even just with, like, her boxing.
I did really love her relationship with Lucky when Lucky finally came over to hang out with her in New York.
Yep.
I really, really liked that.
Yeah. It did feel as though Bonnie had different relationships with Avery and with Lucky, and we got to see both of those. I think because they're the two older sisters. They talked about that a lot, how they were the two older ones.
Yeah.
And it felt like Lucky and Nikki were kind of on their own growing up, but Bonnie did seem to be the sister that would kind of keep a relationship with each one.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that about her.
Yeah.
Avery did feel, you know, aside from her past, she did feel the most relatable because she has that, you know, I'm okay now and I'm, I care about home decor and
well, being... Chitty cared about home decor.
Yeah, okay, maybe I'm Chitty. I think I'm Chitty.
You're Chitty?
Yeah.
I really love Chitty.
Oh, Chitty was probably my favorite. I wish we got more Chitty chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Avery did her wrong, but I mean, life's messy and it seems like it went the way that it should have gone. It was realistic.
Yeah, I do think the outcome was the best.
Yeah.
I think if they had stayed together, I would have been... annoyed.
Yes. Yeah. They weren't meant to be together. And Chitty, spoiler alert, did get her happy ending. And it sounds like they were kind of in contact afterwards, too. So
I think so. Mature relationship.
It is mature. The pacing. What are your thoughts on the pacing?
It dragged on forever.
Yeah.
It just was such a slow book.
Yeah. Despite it being relatively small.
How short was it?
Well, we both listened to it. That's... Maybe I want to say it was like around a 7 or 8 hour listen.
Yeah. That sounds right. I just felt like the chapters dragged on. I did not enjoy this book. So don't ask me how I thought the pacing was because I could not wait for it to be over.
Listening to it, I enjoyed the pacing. If I was actually reading it, mm-hmm. I feel like it would have felt a lot slower.
I think so,
listening to it, especially at a faster speed.
What was your speed?
I think 1.4.
Okay, yeah. That's not bad.
1.4
today. I do 1.3.
Yeah.
That's
your threshold?
That's my, like, normal reading.
Yes.
Anything lower sounds too slow.
Right.
Twists. Did you see the twist with Charlie and Avery happening?
I didn't.
I didn't either.
I mean, when she first went into the meeting and she described meeting him and sitting next to him and da-da-da, I was like, yes. Oh, I saw where it was going.
Yes.
But initially... when we meet Avery and we know she's with Chitty, I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I didn't see her cheating on her.
Nope.
With a man,
yeah.
No less.
Yeah.
And a young man.
A young man who seems to be a regular at this sort of practice.
Oh, yeah. He's very casual with his relationships.
I hope the best for him. But this man lives in his mom's house and brings chicks home from AA.
I don't know if I go that far. I think he's just he said he lives his life the way he wants to.
That's right.
And not going to feel bad for things that I don't want to feel bad about.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of healthy.
It is healthy.
But it also kind of gives you that, like, you have no responsibility for anything or anyone else's feelings.
Yeah.
Which is not a good thing, I don't think.
I just have, like, secondhand heartbreak for Chitty. The book is messy.
It's very messy. Did you like the writing style?
I did like the writing style. That's kind of why I'm interested to read Frankenstein and Cleopatra. But again, like, it's my style of book.
Mm-hmm.
I like these sort of melancholy, you know.
I didn't mind the writing style. Yeah. I liked the prose and everything. Like, mm-hmm. It was really beautifully written.
Yep.
I just did not care for anybody.
Yeah. I liked some of the things that would come up. Like, some of the, there were some interesting and really heartfelt little tidbits in there. Like, at the beginning, she talks about how sisters aren't your friends. Like, how you can't possibly know
mm-hmm.
someone else who, like, scraped their way out of the womb or something. I forget what she said. I don't know what wording she used, but it was definitely like, you got a visual, but you're also thinking like, damn, that's raw. Two different perspectives. Amanda's got four sisters. I have no siblings. I've had my gal pals, my, you know, my sisterhood in that sense, but not in the same way that you know an actual sister.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah. And then she described upbringing too, where, you know, they would sort of team up against each other. She described this one moment where her and Avery are in the bedroom and they won't let Nikki in.
Yes.
And Nikki's on the outside, like, just crying and screaming. And I'm a mom now. Like, I've got multiple kids. And in my head, I'm like, oh, that's so heartbreaking. But these kids are so used to that.
I'll say I never had that. Like, me and my sister, my closest one growing up, in age to me, we never had a really close relationship. I feel like we were always fighting.
Right.
Sorry, Ashley. She's not going to listen to this.
She better.
I just felt like that was the person I butted heads with the most.
Right.
So this relationship between Avery and Bonnie, I never...
The age side of it's not I could not relatable. Relate.
Right. No. The relationship they had growing up is not relatable. I feel like that was maybe the most unrealistic thing for me is the relation. But again, they grew up in a abusive household.
Yeah, and very tight, like, close quarters.
Yes.
Yes.
Like I think one room. Two rooms. Yeah,
two rooms, but the parents
slept in the dining room.
Yeah.
So not the same situation, but yeah. That's why I feel like I couldn't relate to any of them.
That's something I enjoyed about the writing, though, was some of those perspectives and visuals mm-hmm. of sisterhood that I can't relate to. But I guess it's not relatable to every sister.
No, yeah. No.
But
I'm sure there's some people out there who are like, their siblings are like their best friends. Like now.
Eventually.
Now that I'm older, Ashley is like one of my best friends. We're both moms and we just like, our kids hang out together.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's easy. It's nice.
So I've got proper book club questions
okay.
that we could dive into. So we already touched base on the sister not being a friend. What about each blue sister has her own romantic encounters and frustrations? Whose romantic storyline did you find the most frustrating and which did you find the most satisfying?
I mean, obviously Bonnie's is the most satisfying.
Yes, because like she ends up with Pavel.
She feels like this unrequited love for her boxing trainer Pavel,
mm-hmm.
And then realizes that he did love her
mm-hmm.
too.
Yes, thank God.
Yeah, because that would have been awkward.
Yeah, and he was quite a bit older than her too.
13 years?
Something like that, because she was 15 when she went in.
Which, yeah, he didn't love her till later.
Let's be clear about that. Yeah, no, he's a good guy Pavel.
Good guy Pavel.
Yeah.
Good Russian guy Pavel.
Yes.
I did like Bonnie and him.
Mm-hmm.
I did really like Avery and Chitty before Avery cheated on Chitty.
Yeah. But I like how mature they are in the outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hated everything Lucky did.
Yes.
Troll Doll was entertaining.
Troll Doll was definitely entertaining. Probably one of the most interesting characters to read. Like just to listen to.
Yeah, yeah. The voice was so good.
The voice was hilarious.
Yeah.
She was probably the messiest one in the whole book.
Lucky or Troll Doll?
Troll Doll. Okay. Yeah, Troll Doll. And then Lucky second.
Yeah, that's fair.
Other favorite character, Peachy. I loved Peachy.
I did like Peachy.
In Bonnie's chapters, like yes. Peachy was like, you know, suave, like effortlessly cool.
I didn't love his accent though that she did for Peachy.
No, it wasn't my favorite either.
No. I was like, can this woman not do a British accent? But then you got to Troll Doll and Chitty and you're like, oh, you can. Oh,
yes.
And this is just not a good one.
And Kit is British.
Which is weird.
Yeah. Maybe she's trying to do different dialects for
differentiate the characters. Yes, I get that. But I did not love his voice.
Yeah, but I liked his vibe.
Yes, he had a good vibe.
And I feel like he showed up for Bonnie. I liked how he came to see her in New York.
He did.
And it just felt like he was like, and he went to the party with her. And he was a good mate.
He was a good friend, yes. But he didn't go to New York for her, I don't think.
No. But he went out of his way to find her.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, he's a good friend. I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
So they have a complicated relationship with their parents, all the Blue Sisters, and their mother plays a small but pivotal role in the novel.
Witchy mom.
Witchy mom. Love her. Not really. She's such a bitch, but
she is.
How do the sisters' parental relationships affect their own feelings about motherhood?
Well, we know about Avery.
You know about Avery.
Because that's ultimately, I want to say what ended her and Chitty's relationship. I think that's why she strayed. That's why she was pushing back.
Yeah, so Chitty wanted a baby.
A baby so bad.
And Avery didn't.
Pretended?
Pretended. I mean,
for a bit.
It's hard when you're married to someone and you're like, oh, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a conversation you have at the beginning of your relationship. Yes,
and you don't want to have one to make your partner happy.
That's bad.
Yeah. Because I think that's what Witchy Mom said.
Yes.
She didn't seem like she wanted to have kids.
She had a bustling career as like an art curator.
Mm-hmm. She said she just did it because that's what I believe their father wanted.
He was Catholic.
That's how he was raised. Yeah, that's how he was raised.
So that's what you do is you have kids.
Yeah. And she ended up having some like rapid PPD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it makes sense that Avery didn't want children.
Yeah. Because she saw how she already kind of parented a little bit too. Like she went through that as a young girl, was parenting her sisters in some capacity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting when Avery went to talk to their mother and their mother confided in them. And her mom was like, well, the kids had you and I was trying to control your father
mm-hmm.
who was an alcoholic.
Yes.
From like throwing stuff at you guys.
Yeah. I felt a little more empathetic towards her after that.
I did. Isn't it crazy how you talk to people and you get their perspective and you're like, oh, maybe you're not so bad.
Right? If we didn't have that conversation with Witchy Mom, then I would have felt just so linear about her.
Exactly. She had a lot of character growth for her only being in like a chapter.
One chapter and living upstate by herself with chickens.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was actually really funny.
Yeah, she was funny and she did get a lot of growth just from like two pages.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was interesting when the mom said, I meant for you to take them out to the movies, or I didn't mean for you to mother them your entire life.
Yes, because right? Avery does, she has a hard time letting that go.
Yes.
Yeah, even from afar, even from a distance, in a different city, it's like she's just always worried about them and mm-hmm. feeling like she has to control them.
Huge mental load, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Bonnie, of course, becomes a mother. And what was so heartbreaking was that that was a really big trait that they described of Nikki, was that she was made to be a mother mm-hmm. and she ended up dying. And this was a shock. This was a twist that I didn't see coming.
Okay.
So they describe her endometriosis and then she ends up overdosing from fentanyl, which is...
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, super sad. And it was literally because she needed a prescription refill of her pain meds, or she was just in such pain yeah. that she ended up going looking for painkillers on the street. Mm-hmm. And she didn't intentionally take fentanyl, but that's how she ended up dying.
Yeah, it's very, very, very heartbreaking. And yeah. Bonnie finds her.
Yeah, and Bonnie apartment. Finds her. And so I think that's why I had a soft spot for Bonnie, too, because I couldn't imagine, like, carrying that kind of trauma.
Literally carrying your sister down to the paramedics.
Yep, heartbreaking.
Oof, no, I got
goodness
goosebumps.
Gracious. Yeah.
No, I couldn't do
I'm
it.
I'm crying.
You're crying? I did. The one time I cried in this book was when Bonnie was trying to get Lucky sober.
Mm.
And so she was like, no, I'm going to stay with you. I'm not going to go back to the gym. I like, know. Don't worry
and
about
she makes
it.
The soup
she
for her.
She makes everything for her and stays with her. And I was like, that's yep. so sweet.
And it's a redemption thing for Bonnie because she didn't do that for Nikki. Or she felt like I don't know if she would have had the opportunity to do that for Nikki even. But
well, Nikki was so closed off about it, right?
Yes. Yeah. But at least she was in the position where she could save Lucky.
Yes.
If, you know, in some way.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Even if someone's recovery is really messy, at least she's there to give it an attempt.
Yeah, it was a beautiful moment between the two of them. And I really loved that.
Yeah.
That part of the book.
Same. Yeah. That was probably a highlight, was their
bonding.
Their bonding and that section of the book where Lucky's mm-hmm. at the apartment with Bonnie
yeah.
trying to get sober.
Yeah, I do. I agree with you.
But when they have the fight and then she goes off into the pub. And she's so good. Remember, she orders like a soda water.
Yeah,
and
she's trying to be so good.
You're like,
good.
Oh my gosh. She didn't just like, you know, jump off the bridge. Like yeah. she said soda water. But then she ends up going to the bathroom and then she comes back. And then she's just trashed. And that broke my heart.
It
was like.
I know. It was very sad.
Yeah.
And you just think about all the hard work that Bonnie did and Lucky.
Yeah.
To just go back to square one.
But and the way she did a deep dive. Like it says, oh, I'll have a beer. And then it said. A beer turned into this, that turned into shots, that yeah. turned into going to this guy's place, that went into,
right,
you know, and it just was this an enormous spiral of this person. So you're getting these perspectives of addiction.
Like, yes. It's a horrible disease.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so heartbreaking and for everyone around you and yourself. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't know how you get out of that. And we kind of see that with Lucky. She tries and tries. And then 10 years later, she's in a rehab facility. I didn't expect that either. I didn't expect her to be in rehab.
Yeah. No, again. I didn't. Yeah. That was a realistic tie up for her where it was like, okay, she's still battling. It's not just going to be a perfect life for her.
Yeah,
exactly. Avery, on the other hand, she was coming up on her 10 years and she was one of the lucky ones, they had said,
yeah.
who was able to get sober and stay sober.
Yes.
Except for the smoking. That was her, that was her little dirty
her
secret. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it did surprise me a little bit that Lucky was in a rehab.
Surprising, but yeah. not surprising because yeah. you see her pick up a guitar and like try and play that.
Right.
And then yeah. so now she's like a rock star 10 years later.
Yeah.
What a life to be in when you're an addict.
Yeah. Still struggling.
I think that was such a poor career choice.
Yeah, maybe that's not the route to
Can't
take.
Can't you just go sing for children in a library?
Yeah, like Luann from King yeah, of the Hill.
Exactly. Why are you...
Shout out Manger Babies.
Why are you a rock star now with all this access to... It's just a bad choice.
Yeah, that's still choices. A party life. Yeah. yeah, model life, rock star life. You're still in the party yeah. scene.
But yeah, so Lucky didn't want to have a baby. Avery didn't want to have a baby.
Bonnie had a baby who gave us an unwanted POV.
Ugh. God. overall, are you recommending this book to anybody, or?
Not the same way that other books have stood out for me. And I've gone out of my way to say, oh, this one was really good. It was like this book that you know people have loved.
Yes.
And you'll sort of recommend based on that.
Yeah.
This one, I'm not going out of my way to say like, oh, I just read this book, Blue Sisters. You guys have to read it. But if I know their vibe, maybe there's a couple people that might. But overall, I think this was more of a just, it was a me read.
Yeah.
It wasn't a public read, even though we're publicly talking about it right now.
If you like character-driven dramas.
Mm-hmm. Big saddies like me.
Big saddies. Definitely read this book, but it was not one that I love. And I don't think I would recommend it to maybe Amy, if you want to pick it up.
Read it, Amy. Yeah. I think we wrapped it up. If anyone has opinions, reach out, message, comment. Also like and subscribe.
Just gotta throw that in there.
Yeah, but do get in touch with us, connect with us on your opinion.
I would be really interested to hear if someone else has read this and loved it.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't get in. I couldn't do it. And if you go on Goodreads, it's such.
It's a mixed bag.
It is.
Yeah.
It's not one where you go on Goodreads and you're like, oh, everyone seems to like this. You're just like, yeah. Ooh, people really love this or really hate it.
Right. I really loved it while I was reading it.
Okay.
In a way.
Yeah.
That's like fair. I was experiencing it while I was reading it. And I enjoyed some of the conversations and the descriptions. And then now, having wrapped it up, it's sort of, it does fall off the radar.
It does. It's not a book you think
it's
about.
It's not sticking out, but I did like it. And I am interested to read Coco Miller's debut novel. It was a New York Times bestseller.
The Cleopatra and Frankenstein.
Yeah. I think that one might be.
We'll go for it. Let me
a
know
little more impactful. We'll see. I will report back.
I am not going to read that one.
I get to it.
You know what book I'm reading now? Side note. It's called Kiss of the Basilisk.
Oh.
Have you heard about it?
I haven't. Is it snaky?
Is it snaky? What gave it away? It is a, I guess, dark romance novel.
Okay.
But it is like the spiciest book I've ever read.
Is it?
It's literally every chapter or every other chapter. Something's happening.
Spice.
So that's a nice one. It was like a nice one to get me out of this book, and I've been reading it so fast. So if you do read Blue Sisters, make sure you have a palate cleanser after prepared.
My palate cleanser was starting the Fourth Wing series.
Okay.
Because, woot woot, she finished the ACOTAR series.
Yay!
Yes, I finally finished it. It only took me half a year.
Yeah.
But I did it, and I'm done. And then I was like, in that, oh, what next?
You Romanticy.
Know? Yeah, I'm like, Throne of Glass is such an undertaking. This is an 8-book series. And so I wasn't ready for that.
Everyone who started it has loved it and been obsessed with it.
And loved it. Some people have loved it more than
Yes, ACOTAR. They do like it more than ACOTAR.
Yeah.
Which I'm scared because I love ACOTAR.
Same. Yeah, I was really invested. Which, I don't know if anyone follows Sarah J. Maas on Insta, but she posted that she finished book 6.
Or maybe other books.
But it looks like it says 6 and then it could be an arrow or 6 to 8. And people were like, is this 3 books?
Could you imagine?
Yeah. No, 3 books. Yeah.
I think people would go nuts.
Oh, I am.
People are going nuts. Yeah, and I'm assuming
it said 6 to 8 and I've gone nuts. That. I'm manifesting it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 6 to 8.
And
would
I can't
be great.
Wait. But my palate cleanser was staying in that, and I'm not a fantasy girl, but I like those ones that have gone viral. Like I feel like they've gone viral for a reason.
Yeah.
You know? I always have to go back to the saddies. It's like, yes, I'll read Fourth Wing. And I'll love it. And then it's like, okay, now we need a dark one. No, we need something depressing.
And then there's me. I'm like, I just want romance and dark romance and fantasy forever.
And dark romanticy, fantasy, romanticy.
All of them together.
Yes, yeah.
That's my bag. All right. Next podcast, we're going to be talking about 1984.
Yes, it was a book club read.
We were going to do a double, but we figured, let's just split it up.
Yeah, let's split it up. Because I thought there's enough to talk about this one, enough to talk about 1984.
Agreed.
So you've got a couple weeks before this next episode is coming out. If you want to read 1984, it's a classic.
And I actually really liked it.
I ended up liking it too. It starts off slow. I mean, it's definitely.
You did end up liking it?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, cool, because you were so like, oh, Amanda, this book.
We'll get into it when we do the episode. Well, here's just a perspective where I think I'm used to the kind of books that we're reading now, like the kind of books that keep coming out. Mm-hmm. And that's the language, the entertainment, the the modern social, you know, norms and things like that. When you go back and you read these classic books, you almost have to get into this like different headspace.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to it. And I remember I told you, I likened it to sitting in your living room, listening to the radio in the evening with your family, to the radio story or whatever. Because it just feels like it's just like...
But that's the thing with this book is there's so many different audio versions of it.
There is.
Because I sent you a struggle. I sent you a dramatized one, which is like 4 hours long. Yeah. Which is interesting, but I felt like I'm missing so much. So then I found one of this British dude reading it, mm-hmm. which I really liked. But there was editing issues where he would repeat some of the sentences he had just
said.
There
were a million recordings, so it was
but
very
hard
to...
But we'll talk about this next time. Just getting so excited about talking about this book.
Signing off.
Yes, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.